the lines in the garden. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. I called my cousin's wife last night because we read on the obituaries that her son would be our first cousin once removed. Anyway, he died suddenly this week at age 51. And about a week ago, she said, I didn't even know she wrote, but she wrote a long piece. She could only read one line of it to me. She couldn't get through any more of it. But it said, one of these days, the Lord will call you. And she was not meaning it. She didn't know what was happening. She did not know that that week her son would be the one that was taken, and which is very sad. How many know God has the keys to heaven and the key to life and death? Nobody else does. And so today, I'm going to talk about my mother for a few minutes. Now, you look at these kids, see the joy they bring? Yeah, I suppose I'm the middle one. But I don't have two brothers, so we'll just say he's a split personality and have it over with. Picture perfect. April 5th, 1972, I would say categorizes in my life as the worst day of my life. At 1:05 a.m., my mother slipped from this earth and I became a motherless daughter. And I was 15 years old. It was just less than a week earlier, she told me and my sister and my dad, it's cancer, what I was afraid of. And I remember seeing years later the document that they signed, and they said she gave up the will to live. That was given the reason for her death, not the cancer. She lost the will to live. So in less than a week from the time I knew about it, the vibrant mother I knew was gone. And so ever since then, for the most part, Mother's Day has not been a particularly pleasant one for me. I'll be honest about it. Because I thought I would dwell more on what I lost than who I had. And you know, we should think more about who we had than who we lost. Because we're still honoring she who gave us birth. Or who was maybe in our life, maybe there's a woman in your life that's been even more helpful and nurturing to you than your own mother. And don't feel guilty about that, because that happens. But honor those that have helped you. Well, the day after my mother died, I didn't know this, I just got up and, or actually it was the morning that she died, I came downstairs and I walked in the dining room, and their bedroom was to the left, and I don't know why they didn't have any door on it. But anyway, he was standing there. My dad was standing there clutching her slip. And it just broke my heart. And I thought, what can I do? As a Christian about 6 months, Lord, what can I do to bring any solace at all to him? Because I didn't have any. And then I remembered this. Dave's going to put it up here. This is a picture my mother drew before she married my dad. She drew it freehand off of a small snapshot. I don't know where she got the snapshot, but she drew it, and I thought it was exquisite. It's been ruined for the year through the years. I think she drew it on the front or on what would have been a beer carton. That's what I think it was, because it's not a regular artistry paper. But she drew it, and I thought, that's just fabulous. Then when I was a kid, I remember coming across the snapshot, and I looked at it, and I went, I could do that. And so I decided that was going to be my gift to my dad. So I found a picture of my mother, and I drew it for him. And I said, I hope that you know that, number one, she'll never be forgotten and how important she is to me. But secondly, you'll see that her gift lives on. that which she probably wasn't able to go to art school, because in her family, they had no money, they had no reserve, they had no resource. So she probably just doodled. So then I started drawing all the time. And I drew all kinds of stuff for school, forever. I liked portraits mainly. And then after I got saved, I don't know, maybe a year later, I decided it was too prideful, so I threw it all out. I should have just put it away. You know, wish I wouldn't have thrown them. But at any rate, so the next day, I find out afterwards that my dad threw all my mom's stuff out. He got rid of it. I don't think he trashed it. He probably donated it. Whatever he did, he got rid of all of it. There was no clothes with her smell on it that I could take. There was no jewelry to wear that had touched her skin. I couldn't even get the hats I liked that she wore over her bobby-pinned hairdo, which I always thought looked painful. There was nothing but this picture, and I ended up with it years later. So I gave him the picture, and he kept it till he died. And then when he died, I ran over and retrieved it because I was afraid somebody would throw it. And then I drew a picture of him and have them together in my display. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, it reminded me of the words of Jesus, because I saw the snapshot that she took this picture from, that she drew it from. And I thought, I can do that. She can do that. I can do it. And it reminded me of the scripture. Jesus said, what I see the Father do, that's what I do. Do you realize that the more time we spend with the Father, we're going to understand how to do things that we can't do in our own nature? And it can be a living legacy to God's work and God's testimony through your life. So I want you to turn to Psalm 139. What's the picture? What's the snapshot God has of you? Did you know he has one? I don't know, that's when we were in our 20s, but he has a snapshot. I know that much. Psalm 139, you could read the whole portion really, but I'm just reading a couple of verses, 14, 15, and 16. Why don't you stand to honor the word of God? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You may be seated. Do you realize that your life is already written? You just have to decide whose version you're going to live. Okay? You have God's version, which, by the way, was created perfect. Or you have the world's version, or your own version. And that will not end up perfect in God's sight. How many are glad the Lord has a vision, a picture of each of you? And by the way, none of you will be the same. God's not cloning people. He wants each of us to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. I remember years ago, I told you this, I think, when a gentleman, I don't know why, I was going to this one church by my apartment, and he just yelled out, nah, we're gonna destroy the world. And I said, nah, we're not. God is. He created it. He'll dismantle it. And I started talking to him because that got his attention. And he said, well, I'm not of the Christian personality. I said, well, there isn't one, so that's good. God wants to take your personality and change it into his. What do you think of that? And he didn't have an answer for me. No, God does not expect you to be like me or anyone else. He's having a hard enough time with me. No, he wants us to be like him. Remember, he created us in what? His image. So in Psalm 139, this great portion, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you ever said that? Have you ever looked at yourself and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Come on, be honest. We look and go, I'm fearful. What were you thinking, God? A number of other things, right? Of course, at different times in your life. Remember that, right? But he starts out with praise. Everything should start with praise. Do you know that if you start with praise, the way you look at things will be significantly different? If you start from depression, everything will be depressing, even if it's a good thing. But if you start from praise and having your eyes on Jesus, it changes your whole perspective because you see it in his eyes. And he says here, we start at praise, and that Hebrew word yada means to be thankful, give thanks, to laud and to praise. It means to give thanks. Now, you're only supposed to give thanks if you particularly like the color of your hair? Well, if you don't like it, color it. I never wanted to because I figured it was too much work. So I figured it's just going to go the way it is. If we don't like something, change it if you can. If you can't, say, thank you, Lord, I'm unique. And that's how you created me. Did you know you're the only person that can be the perfect you? Nobody else can do it for you. And by the way, you can't be somebody else either, because you won't do that well either. So be the best that you can be, and God will help you to do that. But it's important to start in praise. It's important to keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm telling you, if you see yourself through the eyes of someone who loves and adores you, it changes your perspective. The reason most of us have self-image issues is because we spend far too much time thinking of ourselves the way people think of us, and we don't like them. So what do you care what they think? You don't like them anyway. Think about the Lord and how much he loves you, because the quality of his workmanship is fabulous. He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The Hebrew word means fearful, afraid, and dreadful. It sounds terrible, but what it really means, it's a fearful thing. I mean, it's an awesome thing of the work of God in your individual life. It's not a negative. This is not a negative word. It's actually a positive word. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I like this word because it means distinct, separate, and apart. I was born a twin, and people have always tried to think we're the same person. And we ain't, are we, Darlene? No. I mean, when I grew up, people would say when I wanted to be serious, they'd call me, and when they wanted to have fun, they'd call Jan. Then they thought she was nice and I wasn't. And I said, well, let's have another conversation. But I never tried to be like her. And she never tried to be like me. This word, distinct, separate, apart, the primitive word means to distinguish. And I think this is an interesting word because what it reminds me of is the word sanctification, one of the big words in the Wesleyan Church and certainly in the Scripture, which means to be set apart for the Master's business, to be sacred. You're a sanctuary unto God. That's what sanctuary and what sanctification, same root word. You know what this means? It means you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a unique person in God's sight. You're distinct. God has separated you from everybody else. And that's a good thing. You're not just like one of everybody. You have a distinct, not only purpose, but you're a distinct person, a personality. Then it says, marvelous are thy works. And that word means surpassing and extraordinary. Again, you look at creation and you think, how fabulous is the work of God in creation, right? Hey, by the way, mankind was made higher than the creation. So if that's fabulous, how great are we? Our only problem is we talk back. That's the biggest problem. You never heard a tree talk back except in The Wizard of Oz. I think they talk back there. But generally, the tree and the Flowers don't talk back, but they do sing, don't they? And they're wonderful. His works are fabulous. My soul knows this well. The soul, nephesh in the Hebrew, means your living being. It means your personality. It means yourself and your person. It's who you are as an individual. It's that unique person that Misty is that nobody else is. It's how you are characterized before God. Your soul knows God, knows it's God. Even if your mind doesn't want to agree with it. That's probably mostly the conflict in this world. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity in our hearts. We already know it. But the mind sometimes refuses to accept it. It says, my soul knows it. And the word know, I've said this many times, just stick it in your craw. It's yada. It means to know intimately, to have an intimate relationship. To know God is not intellect. Yes, you need to include your brain. Believe me, it's a good thing. But it really includes a deeper relationship, an intimate knowledge. It has the whole idea of the marriage union. That's why it flows all the way through the scripture. And the same Hebrew word is Adam knew Eve. They had an intimate relationship. We're supposed to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. And our soul, our living person, our totally individual person that nobody else is like, not even a twin, knows it. You know it in your deep soul. That's why God wants us to feed the soul. Then we got to see ourselves through the frame. How many know you generally put a picture in a frame? Number one, you protect it, right? It protects the picture. And it displays it very nicely. And what God chose to do with us as a redeemed person, you know what he did? He put a frame around us of wood. And it's called the cross. Because now God sees us through the cross. He doesn't see us through the world or where we come from or the mistakes we've made. He sees us through the cross. How many are glad he sees you through the cross? You better be glad. Because that's the only picture that matters, I can guarantee you. It said, my frame was not hidden from you. God sees everything. He sees into the womb. I remember a number of years ago, they had a surgery. It was on, they showed it, at least partly, on PBS. And you could see the little baby who was, I can't remember how many months, but not fully born at all, you could see the elbow and the arm come out. You could see the form, that there is form. Your frame was not hidden from God. He knows exactly who you are and how you're made. The word frame in the Hebrew means frame, bones, and might. And think of it as that structured picture and the wood of the cross. You were made in secret. Did you know that? You're made in secret. By the way, secret is not always a shameful thing. In this case, it's appropriate. It means private. You know, I saw on some station or whatever that they had this show, and as you know, so much, sometimes the commercials are worse than the television now, just so you know. But they had this show called Sex Box, and it was to couples, married couples, I hope, but who knows, were having relations in that box on television. But they canceled it because nobody was interested. Unless you were in the box, maybe you were interested. But apparently nobody watching was interested. There are some things should be in secret, folks. Privacy. A sanctum, a sanctuary. That's what the womb is. And it says, I was made in secret. This word asa means to make, or made, to do and to accomplish. And I love this that portion because there's a difference between the creation of God and when God makes something. When he creates and fashions out of nothing. When he makes something, he makes out of existing substance. Okay? That's why originally Adam and Eve were created. They were created out of dust. But God created the dust out of nothing. And then everyone subsequently was created out of the man and the woman as they come down through the ages. It's a wonderful working of God. But they were made in secret, he said. And the word secret is an interesting word. I was really surprised. Sather, it means backbiting. Backbiting. Man, I mean, I know when some women give birth, they have a few words, but she. Actually, it means covering and a hiding place. But it's the interesting thing that in the womb, and I believe that the baby can hear what's going on outside, and it's important to worship, read scripture, be positive, instead of all the negative that can seep in, and the backbiting. The womb should be a place of not arrows, but of love and tenderness and protection, which is the idea here. So, he said, I was skillfully brought together. How many are glad the Creator is skillful? I'm telling you, you know, when a person's having surgery, and Kathleen, don't listen to this, but you ever gone in and look at their credentials? 50% or a good percent of some of them, I remember talking to this was a person in medical school many years ago, and he said, well, I'm in the 50% of my class. I said, well, is that on the top or the bottom? I'm very curious as to what side you're on. And then they were talking at one point about the curve, if I remember right, and that they were talking about that 75% of them knew all the parts of the body. I thought, don't get the guy or the gal that's in the bottom 25 who doesn't know what that body part is. Hey, you want a skillful surgeon. You want a skillful person that's working. And we have the best skilled person of all, the Creator. You know what? He's not practicing. He's doing it because he knows what he's doing. This word, I didn't put it in the word study, but it has the same word and the meaning of us to embroider and to weave when he's doing this wonderful, skillful work in you and he's fashioned you in the womb. There's a great song, The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. See, we only see the underside of the weave. God sees the upside. He sees the real beautiful work that he is doing in us, which is wonderful. So then we get to this last verse. Accept what God alone sees in you. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God's eyes. He saw your unformed substance. He wasn't surprised at anything that happened. He knew I was there when nobody else knew. And I'm always grateful, although Jan knew. She kept a secret pretty good. She always tells me I kicked her out. And that's why she came to live with me later. But nonetheless, the word unformed means substance, an unfinished vessel, an embryo, and imperfect. But what it really means is without God's work, it will never be complete. Okay? Again, it depends on whose vision of you you're going to accept. If you're going to let the world or your past or whatever the case might be determine who you are and who's in that frame, you're never going to have God's completeness. But when you let God, who sees you, who saw you unformed, when you let his picture emerge, you're just going to be shocked. Just shocked. I would have never thought in my life I'd be in the pulpit. I thought I'd be in a bar somewhere. That's what I thought. no purpose in life, especially after Ma died. God had a different plan. I'm glad he saw something I didn't see. And I'm actually glad I didn't know it at the time, because I'd have probably ruined it. Do you know you can get in the way of your own blessing? God wants to do it his way because it's perfect, and we get in the way and mess it up. And this word, by the way, golem, which I think I put up there, comes from another word, galem, and it means to wrap up and to fold together. Each of us is a gift wrapped by the presence of God. You are a gift, and you are unique in his heart. And your work and who you are as a person can only be completed when you keep yourself in the hand and the love of Christ. Because otherwise, it will be an incomplete work. In his book, every part is written. His days are ordained, and your days are ordained. And we don't know what those days are, but we know one thing. If God's in them, they're eternal, right? And they're purposeful, and they're wonderful. And they were all written before I existed. Guess what, folks? I love that thought, and that is this. Everything he's already prepared for me was prepared before I ever existed. You know what that means? That means what I do, I mean, I can help it or hurt it. It doesn't depend on me. It depends on him, on what he's doing and what we let him do. He has so much to do in each of us. And I'm so glad that he's willing to do that. In 1972, after my mother died on April 5th, about a month later was Mother's Day. And I was just walking through the halls. Who knows what I was doing? And a teacher came up to me, and I thought they all knew, and maybe she did and forgot, and she said to me, "So what are you getting your mother for Mother's Day?" And I was horrified. "Doesn't she know?" And I stopped, because my initial response would not have been gracious. I said, "Well, I don't think it'll transfer. There's nothing I can do to give to her at this point. But my Mother's Day gift is to be what she would have wanted me to be." And then the person felt horrible. But that's how I felt. Let me assure you, God has a snapshot, and it's already perfect, and it's beautiful, and it's fabulous. And it's free from sin, and it's free from guilt, and it's free from shame. But it must be completed in relationship to him, or it will not come out that way. And that's what God wants us to know. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today that you are the God of the living, which is why, though we mourn and we remember and we ought to honor mothers who are gone, people who are gone from our lives, Father, I pray we'd not focus on the loss, but we would, day by day, month by month, begin to think about the life and who they are to us. And all the more for you, because you're alive. And you created in each one of us a personality that is unique. And if we spend all our time trying to be somebody else, we're never going to become who you created us to be. And if we allow our past or our problems to take over that picture, it also will not be what God, what you intended it to be. So I thank you for your faithfulness and your patience with each one of us. I thank you that you framed us in the wood of the cross, the great second chance, the redemption from on high. I thank you, Lord, that what you see is beautiful. And when you look upon us, you look upon us with delight and love and not anything else. Father, I pray today we would see your eyes and see that picture. And the things, Lord, that you'll keep in secret belong to you. Maybe we'll never know till we're with you. But I do pray today, Lord Jesus, for any especially that see themselves through the world or through their own past and failure. Lord, they're not seeing what you want them to see. And I pray, Lord, that you'd refocus them to see just that. You are drawing a snapshot based on your vision of this individual person who's unlike anyone else. May each one live for you and see that completed work come forward, because what's in the heart of God. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, and we just for a moment here say, maybe you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ in the first place. I can guarantee you there's nobody else that has any good thoughts toward you, that has any ability to bring those thoughts to pass anyhow, and that will forgive and restore you. Nobody else has that power. Nobody else has that will. Nobody else can see the end from the beginning. And if you're here today and you want to say by an upraised hand, nobody's looking, I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ today. I'd like him to forgive me of my sins. I'd like to acknowledge that he is the Lord and master of all. And I want to follow him and his plan for my life. And you'd say with an upraised hand, I just want to make sure if you're here today and that's in your heart, I just ask you to raise your hand so I can see it. Nobody else is looking. It's important that you indicate the Lord does not drag us anywhere. He asks us. He gives us a choice. And if you don't choose him, that's your choice. But eternally, it's a mistake. Okay. Secondly, if you're here and you'd say, you know, I'm looking at the wrong picture. I'm looking at other people's view of who I am or my mistakes, and I'm focusing on that in my life, or maybe somebody that I'm hoping will think kindly toward me and they don't, and it just tears my life up. We've got to start with praise. We've got to start with the Lord. Anywhere else we're going to be on an upward climb we'll never fit and we'll never make. And if you're here and you'd say, you know, there is a focus that needs to be adjusted here. I want to see myself in his sight, in his vision, in what he has mapped out already for me way before I was ever born. He loved me and made me the unique person I am. And you'd say with an upraised hand, that's me. Today, I want to let him show his picture in my life, and I will display it with praise and wonder. And you raise your hand so I can pray for you. Very, very important in our lives. See yourself the way he sees you. If you don't, you'll never be the complete person that he intended you to be. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for every hand and every life. Lord Jesus, there's nothing more important than that intimate knowledge of the relationship between the Creator and those that he has summoned forth. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would reveal, Lord, if there be those attitudes, those pains in life, we're judging ourselves by them, we're viewing ourselves through that lens. God, may we change it and see ourselves through the love of Christ. Lord, that's the only mirror to look in. Anything else will be totally thwarted. Complete your work in each one, Father, that you would be glorified. And we ask it today, Lord, on Mother's Day. Remind us, you are the greatest nurturer of all. May we not only be grateful and respect you every moment, but may we come home all the time. Lord Jesus, because without you, we can do nothing. And I thank you, Father, that you are gracious enough to want us in a relationship with you. So bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. He began a good work. Thank you. God is faithful. No matter what we are, he will always be faithful. Remember also next week is potluck. You don't smell any food because there's none here today, because for mothers. So you can have a day off and not have to work. How does that sound? So that will be next Sunday. So now I'm going to ask if Dave will take the little microphone over to Norm Graydon, one of the kindest gentlemen in the world. He won't say that, but it's true. I ask you to please close in prayer.
Thank you, Father, for bringing us together today. And Lord, just as you made us in the mysterious area of the womb of the woman, Father, that you don't complete your work there, but continue it as we walk through this life. And I thank you for your faithfulness, Father, even in our unfaithfulness. I thank you for the death of your Son on the cross for each one of us, Lord God. And I ask, God, Lord, that you'd prepare each one of us to grow closer to you as we walk through this life and prepare to spend eternity with you forever. Amen.